At 28 years old, I was shot and paralyzed from the chest down. I had two options. I could stop and let the things I cannot control control me, or I could move forward and put my energy into things that would improve my life and those around me. I chose to move forward and surround myself with risk takers, innovators, and leaders who've chosen the same path. Join us on the journey. Hello and welcome to another episode of Forward with me, Derek Herrera, and my guest this week, Elena Jane Nichols. Elena is a truly incredible woman. She is a paraplegic, a mother, and one of the most decorated Paralympic athletes of all time. She's the first person to ever medal in both a winter and summer Paralympic Games. And we talked about some amazing lessons she learned after sustaining a life-changing injury while she was in high school. And the lessons that we talked about was how she was able to find passion and purpose through sport in a different way, a slightly modified and adapted way than she had found previously as an athlete. And this lesson is impactful and transfers, I think, to people in a lot of different walks of life. So I really hope you enjoy this episode of Forward with me, Derek Herrera, and my guest this week, Elena Jane Nichols. And if you do, please consider leaving us a five-star review and comments. If you're listening on Apple, share, like, comment, subscribe if you're on Spotify or YouTube. And hope you all have had a phenomenal Thanksgiving and have a great weekend. And look forward to sharing more episodes with you again here soon. Elena, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Derek, for having me. Happy to be here.
Pleasure's all mine. I am so excited to chat with you. It's been amazing getting to know you and Roy over the past few years and learn more about your journey. And so I'm really excited to share some of the things about your life and your experience that hopefully our listeners will truly enjoy. So truly appreciate you making time to come and connect with
us. For sure.
You've done some amazing things in your life, but before we get to those amazing things, would love to just kind of start off with your earlier years, kind of what your youth was like, and then up to the point leading to your injury when you had sustained a spinal cord injury.
Yeah. Well, I guess I had a little bit of an unconventional childhood. I was raised by my grandparents after my dad was killed by a drunk driver. I was 9 months at the time, so my mom kind of had her hands full with three little kids, and eventually my grandparents kind of took the reins, adopted myself and my older sister. And, you know, looking back, what a blessing. What a huge, like, second chance that was, because my grandma was very adamant that we were out of the house, we were being active, and she got me into sports when I was five. Started playing t-ball, had so much fun playing boys and girls club volleyball and basketball, played three sports actually throughout my junior high years, and then really started to focus in on fast pitch softball as I got into high school. I guess I was about 14 when I learned how to snowboard. And so I found that was like a huge passion of mine outside of like the linear aspects of traditional sports. I was able to kind of create and express my athletic ability in a very different way on the mountain. And so my senior year in high school, I was being recruited to play fast pitch softball in college and pretty much had punched my ticket out of that town. And November 19th of 2000, we were out backcountry. It was early in the season. Not a lot of snow on the ground, but had just gotten like 4 foot of snow, you know, just dumped on like Southern Colorado. So I'm from Northern New Mexico, and we went out to a little area just north of Durango, Colorado. And I had been obsessing about doing a backflip all summer. I was like that bro-y chick that was like hanging out with all the good skiers, and I like to do flat ground backflips and backflip off of whatever, you know, curbs or whatever. And so I had already thought that summer that I was going to do my first backflip on a snowboard that winter. So, you know, being 17, I couldn't wait another moment. So November 19th, it's kind of late in the day. It was like 3 p.m. we had already done a lot of hiking, a lot of jumping. We had built several road gap. Well, we built one road gap, but several different little kicker jumps that were landing out in this valley. And it was late in the day, like I said, and I guess I didn't think twice about it. I was standing at the top of the hill. I looked at my buddy JC, who was there. I said, "Hey, I'm going to try that backflip." And before he could say a word, I was already headed down towards the jump. And, you know, the last thought that went through my mind was, I don't want to under rotate this backflip. So I threw my feet over my head as hard as I could. I ended up doing a 1.5 backflip and landing directly on the snow with my back. My board and my boots were over my head, and I broke my back in 3 places, instantly becoming paralyzed. And I didn't know it, but there was a boulder right below me. So the density of the landing broke my back, and life changer, to say the least.
Yeah, in an instant, for sure. Yeah, and so obviously they were able to get you out, and you've made an incredible recovery since then. What was it like after, you know, your rehab and your initial days and moving through that process of moving forward?
Yeah. Well, I'm from a tiny little town called Farmington, New Mexico, and I was airlifted. Luckily the helicopter could land on that little one lane road we were on. Flew me back to Farmington. I had an 8-hour back reconstruction surgery. Woke up in the ICU the next morning, 17 years old and newly paralyzed, and, you know, couldn't imagine what that even meant at the time. I had more visitors than San Juan Hospital's ever seen. They were like, you know, filing them in 2 at a time. All my friends came just to say hi, and I just remember all of them had this really sad look on their face, and I didn't understand why. And they knew something I didn't, and they understood what a spinal cord injury was before I did. And, you know, I assured them that I would be up and walking, you know, by Christmas, and everything was going to be fine. And it was a while, even after I had that hard conversation with the doctor, after he explained what a spinal cord injury was and how whatever function I get back in the following 2 years is probably what I'd be left with. And quote unquote, I'd never walk again. You know, that's the hard conversation. And, you know, I being 17 and 10 foot tall, I looked at the doctor and was like, "You don't actually know me, sir." And, I thought for sure I would, overcome it. I didn't know that spinal cords are the only, you know, organ in your body that don't repair itself. It doesn't repair like heart and brain and lung tissue. So anyways, I ended up doing all my rehab in a regular rehab facility with nobody under 75. Most are hip replacements and stroke victims, and I was the young one. They all called Speedy. And you know, I was very determined to just, I was an athlete my whole life, so in rehab I was just checking off the boxes. When they said, "Okay, here, we're going to sit up for the first time, check. We're going to get dressed for the first time, in bed, check. You know, move from the bed to the wheelchair, check. Bed to the wheelchair, to the ground, to the PT mat," whatever it was, I was ready for it. Knocked it all out. I thought, just like I had accomplished all the goals as an athlete, I thought if I just kept accomplishing what the, you know, physical therapist had me do, surely I would end up walking again. You know, it would all come together. Mm-hmm. I did that initial rehab. I did everything I could to walk. I got long leg braces and forearm crutches. I would walk at home, set big goals like getting down to the stop sign outside of my grandma's house, which I did. I walked around the block, which took me 45 minutes. It was just like so much, but I ended up going off to college, at the University of New Mexico. And that was really when everything hit me really hard. I felt very misunderstood at 18 years old in college. Nobody knew that I was just able-bodied like months before. Nothing that I dreamed of was happening. I wasn't playing softball in college. I wasn't going to all the parties and meeting all the people. You know, it was just a really hard time. And it was almost like a God moment when I was at my lowest. I definitely didn't want to live anymore. I couldn't find any reason to. I was rolling through the gym at the University of New Mexico. It was just the auxiliary gym. I had actually never gone that way before. And I come across this whole team of people playing wheelchair basketball. And it was like literally 10 people, 5-on-5. Everybody's in chairs. I had never even seen somebody my age in a wheelchair at this point, let alone 10 of them in these wild looking wheelchairs. And they were all just being super aggressive and athletic. And, you know, I couldn't deny what I was seeing. They were being like athletes, and I didn't know that that was possible. They were hitting 3-point shots from a stationary position and just sinking them. And I was like, wow, I don't even know. You know, I played 9 years of able-bodied basketball. I couldn't imagine throwing a ball from the 3-point line from a seated position. And that was really a pivotal day and moment in my life. I couldn't unsee what I had seen, and I couldn't unmeet the people. And I got into a basketball chair that day, and it was like game over or game on.
Yeah. That's so awesome. It's such an incredible story. And I feel like I have a lot of similar experiences as well. And so, I was a lot older. I was 28 when I was injured, but, very similar, right? Where when doctors tell you this, right, for people, I guess like us, we both thought the same thing, which was, I'm strong, I'm going to get through this, and leaves you this opportunity for positive thinking, right? And I'm going to get up out of here, walk out of here in 6 weeks and go run a marathon, right? Or whatever it is that you're planning to do in your head and setting these goals. And it's tough to come to the realization that certain things are out of your control and just may never be realistic for you, right? Mm-hmm. With these goal setting. And that was a lot of things that I encountered, which were pretty crushing for me, like mentally and emotionally, which was, okay, I set these goals and fall far short because none of it's in my control. And similar experience as well, where trying to navigate that and figure out what to do moving forward and finding new purpose and passion. And that's pretty amazing timing, right? Like you said, where you're able to find this group and go forward and be the same type of, you know, person you were before and bring out those same qualities in you as an athlete. For me, it was a triathlon. I'd never done a triathlon before, and I was kind of wallowing and, you know, had a lot of complications, secondary complications. And some of the members of my unit at the time were like, hey, we're going to run this triathlon and raise money for this foundation. We signed you up. You're going to do it with us and whatever else. I'm like, okay, well, I'd avoided adaptive sports for a long time because for me, I thought of that as acceptance that I wouldn't get better. And so I just, you know, put it off. And I didn't want to learn how to do things in a new way, because if I did, I felt like that would be accepting defeat in my mind. And that was really short-sighted of me. But about 9 months after I'd gotten injured, I did the triathlon and was in a competitive environment again and crashed on the bike and got skinned up and got like, you know, all of these things that like reinvigorated that type of spirit in me and helped me move forward. And so, that's a really incredible story. And so I'm assuming that has sparked your passion and set you back on the path, which you went on, obviously, which is to be an incredibly accomplished athlete with so many accolades that we can talk about. But how did it go from there, from that point forward?
Yeah, I thank you for sharing your story too, because it was really like, you know, getting skinned up, what you said was like the same feeling I got when I got hit by a basketball chair and I fell over. I like loved it, and it was low-key violent and I needed it and I wanted to get hit. And it was like after my injury, everybody, you know, tiptoed around me and treated me so fragile. And I was like, I'm an athlete. I used to dive out in the outfield for a ball that I was nowhere near. Like I would always dive face first into home plate. Like it was, you know, I took a lot of pride in how tough I was, and I just needed that outlet. And luckily there was something for me, and it was called wheelchair basketball. And I just, from that day, I learned that they train, well, they just scrimmage every Wednesday evening. And so I had something to look forward to. And so, you know, every Wednesday I was there right on time. And between the days of the week, between practice, I'd started investing in my education and going to school and started, it like rehabilitated my life more than any PT or OT or anything that I did, because I needed to move. I needed to breathe hard. I needed to sweat. I needed to get all my endorphins running, you know? And so it just kind of gave me that instant boost of like confidence, because I was learning new skills. I was actually seeing progress. And that's something I hadn't seen since I kind of plateaued after my injury. And so, long story short, all the right people came into my life at all the right times, mostly because I was open to it. And that's really the key, right? Is when your heart and your mind and everything's open to the possibilities, that's when everything starts coming your way. Well, if you're all closed down, it's just not going to work out. And so I started becoming open to the possibilities. And sure enough, I learned about a program at the University of Arizona, had an all women's wheelchair basketball program. And I had gone out to this like really great rehab program in Rhode Island called Shake a Leg, which is essentially like the High Fives Foundation of the 2000, early 2000s. And I know that you'll be talking to Roy soon, but High Fives is like my husband's organization that supports folks with spinal cord and brain injuries getting back into life through sports. So I had my own outlet for that. And, you know, just all the things, I got all this confidence. I move out to Tucson. I play ball every day. I have blisters on my hands. My fingers are just bleeding, and I'm so happy because I can feel like an athlete again. And my very first year at the University of Arizona, I was given the opportunity to try out for the Paralympic women's team. And back then it was an open tryout. Now it's invite only, and, you know, it's very elite. But back then it was like, okay, who all wants to try out? So I was given the opportunity. I actually was named to the 2004 team as an alternate. And that really changed the path for me, because I was able to start training with the best wheelchair basketball players in the world. And I was just on a fast track to becoming a Paralympic champion. And at the end of my time at the University of Arizona, where I graduated with a bachelor's of science in education, I went on to the University of Alabama, worked on my master's in kinesiology. And then that year, it was like the best summer of my life. I graduated from college with my master's and went out to Beijing to compete for the U.S. Paralympic team. Went through the whole season actually undefeated, into the tournament undefeated, and left with the gold medal. So it was like, couldn't have gotten any better. I mean, I think about that moment when I was sitting on the podium with my fellow teammates. And you know, every Olympic and Paralympic athlete has that like very teary podium moment. And I didn't realize this, but everybody's tears really represented something very different. It wasn't really about winning. It was about the sacrifices and the journey that it took to get you to that moment. And I thought back to, you know, my 17-year-old self that was laying in a hospital thinking her athletic career was over. And it, little did I know, was just beginning, and it was going to be bigger and better than I could have ever dreamed of.
That's incredible. And the point you made about being tough and getting skinned up and strong, I find that with a lot of people that go through any sort of injury or any sort of trauma or loss, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, you have these sorts of incidents that shake your identity to some respect. And so for me, I was similar situation, right? Typically the biggest guy in the room, 6'2", barrel chested freedom fighter, right? And then a second shortest guy in the room. I'd lost 30 pounds, frail, looked like death. You know, I also had complications all the time with, like, you know, I had all these infections. Mm-hmm. Like, so I just looked terrible, right? I looked like you said, right? When people are looking at you and you don't always see it yourself in the first few weeks or months, when you look just gaunt and weak and and emotionally drained too, and everything else. And so finding a way to get back into the position where you don't feel fragile and people don't treat you as fragile was life-changing for me, right? And that was, whether it was triathlon or any of the other stuff that I've done since then, reshaping the perception of who you think you are after that type of injury and you're struggling to redefine yourself, really challenging. But I think for anybody who's listening, and this is, I think, a human condition, right? Whether, you know, it may be cancer or, you know, PTSD or TBI or these other sorts of things, that could, any sort of condition that can affect your life in that way and cause you to shake you to the core and question your identity, experimenting with, and like you said, which was really well articulated and truly incredible, which you said was, these possibilities happen when you're open to them and when you invite them into your life and you're willing to take risk and to try, knowing that you might fail, right? So that's incredible. I don't know that I've heard anyone say anything that eloquent in a long, like, that was really poignant. So, thank you for sharing that. And sounds like, you know, moving forward and going through this, this sets you on a path to success your entire life and open up possibilities that, like you said, you never could have dreamed of, right? Yeah. Or never would have expected, but, you know, you might not have been an Olympian the other way, right? And now you've done it, and not just once, but multiple times. So
the funny thing, truly, the funny thing about how life works is the softball and baseball actually got taken out of the Olympic Games until just recently at 2020. So I wouldn't have become an Olympian, which was my dream. And I had to take this other path. And it really is about embracing and accepting where you are. And I think, to your point, you know, it might not be a huge life-changing tragic event that somebody experiences. It might be something like as kind of inevitable as aging. You know, everybody's going to age, and we're all going to have to grieve that experience and the loss of who we were. You know, I'm 38 now. My joints hurt and my back. I've been in a wheelchair for 21 years. So it's like, whatever that is, like, it's important to embrace where you're at and, you know, accept it for what it is and not, you know, push against it, because that's not going to get you anywhere. And I mean, that's kind of the universal, I think that's the common denominator of all of us humans, is like, we're all going to have some big changes happening to us. It's like, how do you decide you're going to deal with it?
Yeah. Change is inevitable, right? Yes. Happens to everybody. Yeah. The best of us. So, and that's what I try to share sometimes when I speak with people and let them know that, you know, we're no different. We're all going to, if you live long enough, you're going to experience change, right? And things are going to happen to you. You're going to do things, and you're going to lose abilities that you used to have, preparing for that eventuality mentally, psychologically, or just hearing stories of other people who've been through it is interesting to do.
So, well, and it doesn't have to be all like sad either, right? Like, that's kind of the thing that I want people to understand. Like, it is really sad when you first get injured, because you're comparing yourself to your old self, and you're never going to measure up. You're never going to be that person again. And it's really hard to embrace and accept. And then once you do, it's like, okay, this is who I am now. What can I do with what I have right now? And then you start embracing that, you know, and it's like, if you just look at it as a difference, and I really like, I'm not Buddhist by any stretch of the imagination, but I love the idea that the Buddhist folks believe in, that there aren't any bad things. There's just lessons. And it's like, what is this lesson? What's in store for me through this experience? And it's like, okay, there's something bigger than, you know, just me losing the, you know, use of my legs and having the most inconvenient life. It's like very inconvenient to be in a wheelchair in an able-bodied world, but, you know,
that's a polite way,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And I haven't heard of the Buddhist philosophy, but I love it. Yeah. It makes sense. And I'm not Buddhist either, but I agree. So that's a good lesson. What was it like moving on beyond the 2004 Olympics? You obviously had done a lot since then. What have you been up to since then?
Yeah, so I didn't actually go to 2004 in Athens, but I was on the team as an alternate. Oh. But I did go to Beijing. That's where we won the gold. Right. And then actually, before I'd even left Beijing, I had this not really a plan B, but my next step was already lining up. I wanted to get back into skiing. I wanted to start ski racing. And so before I left to Beijing, I had taken a trip up to a program called the National Sports Center for the Disabled, which is in Winter Park, Colorado. And I met with the coach and I told him my plan. I said, I want to go out to China, win the gold with that money, put it into the program, which was like such a small amount of money. And the ski racing program was a large amount of money. But I said, that'll get me started. I'll figure it out. And he said, all right, well, I think you should probably focus on 2014 because 2010 isn't probably going to work. You literally are just learning how to ski. Like, don't put your money on it. And I said, okay, coach. And so after Beijing, I moved out to Winter Park. Like a Cinderella story, every single race that I won, I had to have won to get onto the team to go to 2010. But I would not have been able to do it had I known that that's what I needed to do. It was a little bit like Forrest Gump, like dumb luck, you know. It was actually like what my coach told me to do. He said, fast skiing takes care of itself. And I said, okay, just ski fast, take chances, win the races. Don't worry about how all the points line up and everything. And so after 2 years, I had won the downhill and super G national titles. I'd made my way onto the Paralympic development team. So I was in Vancouver in 2010 as a rookie. I had nothing to lose. Nobody expected anything from me. And I skied my heart out because I had just had another incredible loss in my life. My brother had passed away in 2009, right before the games. And so it was like this energy inside of me. It wasn't happy or sad. It was just so much. And I used it and I just let it all be what it was going to be. Like, I didn't care, kind of. And I just let it all go. And I left 2010 with 2 golds, a silver and a bronze. And luckily, I think very fortunately, I became the first female American to win gold in the summer and winter games. So like casually making history, I like was like, wow, I did that. You know, like I didn't know that was what was happening, but yeah, it was wild. I was the most medaling athlete of the Olympic or Paralympic Games. So, I mean, it was unexpected to be like that celebrated. I was given so many opportunities, including like being nominated for an ESPY award, meeting President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama. I rode in Michelle Obama's motorcade. Just like all of these amazing things. And I was like, how is this my life? You know? And, you know, I just felt so favored. And I think that's like part of what happens with the checks and balances of life. Like I had my heart broken and, you know, here, you know, it's just like the ebbs and the flows. It was just highs and lows. So, 2010 was amazing. I got back into basketball, went to 2012 in London. We actually ended up getting fourth there. 2014 for ski racing in Sochi, Russia. I got a silver in the downhill. Wrecked really hard in the Super G. Busted my chin. Took a helicopter ride to the hospital. That was kind of a life-changing thing for me because that's when I really shifted gears and learned how to surf after that. And that's when I was like, okay, surfing just ruined my life. I got to move out to California and pursue like sprint kayaking, which is what I did in the 2016 games. But really what I did to like, I don't know, surfing is such a, I know it sounds cliche to say it's so spiritual, but like I needed surfing at the time that it came into my life. And I used it to heal. I used it to express myself in a new way. I love learning sports, so I like just needed that, you know, invigorating, exciting new thing. And it's been, you know, I was just in San Diego last week. I had a giant day at Wind and Sea. It was like 5 to 8 foot, so fun, but like also terrifying, and I loved it. Nice. So yeah, that's kind of my athletic journey. I recently became a mom, I guess 2 years ago. My son is almost 2.5 now. And life goes on. Like, what a transition that is, even, you know, like, talk about a spinal cord injury. Becoming a mom is equally as big, you know, I think.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Forward with me, Derek Rare, and my guest today, Elena Jane Nichols. Unfortunately, we had a bit of an abrupt ending because life happens. And so we were kindly interrupted by her son, Gunner, waking up from his nap. And so truly hope you enjoyed this episode and look forward to sharing more with you all shortly.